just a crazy storm.
I'm Peter.
And I'm Felice.
Welcome to our travel podcast. We're specialist travel writers, and we've spent half a lifetime exploring every corner of the world.
So we want to share with you some of our extraordinary experiences and the amazing people we've met along the way.
For all of us in 2020, the world has been turned upside down, and it's not, frankly, ever going to right itself in any way familiar to what went before. It's been, and is, a time to reevaluate our jobs, our lives, and our relationships with others, our expectations of the future. For those near the top of the financial tree, there's further to fall. It really doesn't matter whether you live in London, New York, San Francisco, Singapore, or Sydney. The spotlight falls on the daily corporate grind, and in many cases is found wanting. I mean, do I really need to continue doing day after day what I'm doing now in the light of a world that's changing beyond all recognition? Getting home, whether exhausted or exhilarated, at 10 p.m. and leaving for work again in the hour before dawn suddenly seems, well, pointless. Sure, the money is good, but what's the point of the money if there's little or no downtime in which to enjoy it? No quality to family life. You and your partner are ships that pass in an unsatisfactory night. You're missing out of, unaware of, those pivotal moments in your children's lives. Now, Michael and Sarah, they met in the schoolyard and have been inseparable ever since. Both were earning high city salaries as they juggled careers and bringing up 4 children under 7. Months before COVID crept uninvited into their lives, they decided to jump. It was far from being a case of before they were pushed. They made the decision to give it all up in the hope of finding, well, something better. They were, as it turned out, one major step ahead of the game. One day on the road to Manchester rather than Damascus, they saw the blinding light. So what if we cashed in the house and all the urban trappings of success? What if we were to swap it all for self-sufficiency in the rural idyll, a bit like Tom and Barbara in the 1970s BBC sitcom The Good Life? Could we really have a go at that? You know, sometimes if you have the courage to press the red start button, life takes on an unstoppable forward momentum all of its own. The following day, they put their house on the market. 4 days later, much to their surprise, it sold. Now, the Rosen Peninsula on the south coast of West Cornwall is a stunningly beautiful but remote place of winding narrow lanes that finally lead to ancient villages and remarkable beaches and seascapes as the English Channel gives way to the stormy might of the Atlantic Ocean. 2 years later, we went to Cornwall to find out how Sarah and Michael are getting on. So here we are on the Rosen Peninsula, immersed in the most beautiful countryside, with a flock of sheep in the foreground grazing on rolling pastures, the River Fal in front of us and the English Channel behind. It's hard to imagine a place further removed from the cut and thrust of the corporate world. It's really been a bit of a lifestyle change for you, Michael.
Enormous, actually. Probably more so than we ever estimated. But yeah, we changed, you know, from 2 corporate jobs up in the city and in the southeast down to a very different life down in Cornwall. But so far, so good. We, you know, it takes longer than you think to adapt to it. But, you know, we've now got more time with the kids, some lovely countryside around us and great people to get to know kind of where we are now. So yeah, so but a big change. And I think the fact we had, you know, we've got 4 relatively young children, if we were going to live, support that lifestyle, it would be another 10, 20 years of it. And yeah, it was fine, but we just needed a change. And I think what happened was we actually spent a lot of time in the car on a very long journey without the children. And for the first time in a long time, we had time to chat. We went to a friend's 50th in Wales, spent ages in the car and just said, come on, let's do this, actually. You know, we don't do it now. The children are just about to start school. They're young enough. We can make the change without upsetting them too much. You can do all the analysis you want, but at the end you don't really know what's going to happen. So we just said, right, come on. So we put the house on the market.
Yeah, we got an offer really quickly and that kind of threw us a bit, and we said it's meant to be because it was 4 days. So on the 5th day we accepted an offer on the house, and that's when our life all changed.
And with a few bumps along the way, we ended up buying, you know, what were some converted barns on part of an old farm in Cornwall on the Roseland. Yeah. So, you know, there were a few nights, I think, when we first landed, we saw the place in June and July, so beautiful sunny Cornwall, and then we landed in December, So in the wind, we had 80 or 90 mile an hour winds whistling over the headland, thinking exactly what on earth have we done, and thinking, how are we going to make money? Will the kids be happy? Should we just have stayed in the beautiful part of the world that we lived in before, which, you know, wasn't a terrible place by a long way. But I think it was the pull of this place. And I think, yeah, that's what it's got to be. I think it's got to be a pull, not just a, I don't like this life, I want another one. You've got to be pulled to somewhere. And even though when we saw this place, it was one of those places where we went, it doesn't really work. There's not enough bedrooms. The shape and configuration of everything is a bit weird and we can't get our head around it, but we fell in love with it. And the views like we're looking at now are just
quite astounding.
Yeah. And we've been very lucky because we've landed in a place where actually, when we bought the place, we were being interviewed as much as we were choosing the house, the people were choosing us as well. So we've landed in a place where all our neighbours have been so welcoming and really looked out for us. And I think they have understood the magnitude of the change we've made better than we did, perhaps. But they've really helped us to land. So, you know, as you can see, we've got a fantastic view across the creek to the valley on the other side. So lovely.
What made you choose Cornwall of all places?
Well, I'd love to say it was a very considered choice. I think the fact that it was a bit further away and a bit different, and the fact that, I mean, the countryside here is beautiful. And it's still, you know, when we moved here, people were saying, oh, it's like Cornwall was 50 years ago. Now, it is changing. And as, you know, as you've said, Peter, there's some big changes going on. But it is far enough away that it's still, you know, it's quite hard to find somewhere in the UK now that's different, I think, and increasingly so. But this really is different. And the beauty of the beaches, the welcome of the people, and just the pace of life is
fantastic. Generally, you're getting the welcome from the people because you're not coming down and having a weekend cottage that you use three times a year. You were coming to live here with a young family, with really young children, and going to local schools and being part of the local community.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, little did they know about our children and maybe what the noise levels were going to be once we moved in. But yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think we've still got some way to go. People have been really welcoming, but we've been so busy that we've probably got more roots to lay and more, you know, more work we can do to embed into the local community.
You told us earlier that there are lots of things for children to do, lots of activities and things.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And there's a slightly, dare I say it, a bit less of the cotton wool down here. So, you know, we took our children out kayaking. There's a retired teacher who runs a kayaking and stand-up paddleboarding place around the corner, and you know, he gave our four-year-old a kayak and said, get on with it, off we go. Yeah, so we've had some brilliant fun, and you know, and this part, particularly on this south coast of Cornwall around Carrick Roads and the Percuil River and around St Mawes, that the waters are relatively calm and very benevolent at times. So you can quite easily go kayaking, but stand-up paddleboarding, we've done loads of walking and just getting out. And just, you know, kids can amuse themselves for hours, as we all know, with a rock pool and a bit of beach. So we've been lucky. And this time of year, you know, obviously September is a lovely time because it's still warm. The beaches, they haven't been rammed, but, you know, they're a lot quieter now. And the kids have just really taken to it in a way, you know, we don't really have those issues with them sitting in front of their iPads all day. It's been great. You know, my daughter's doing a bit more horse riding. The other kids are getting involved in it. The dog just lost huge amounts of weight. So with all the walks we've been taking him on. So yeah, the kids have been very active.
So what have you actually bought here? Well, we're standing in the middle of this glorious field. You've got about 8 acres, you were telling me, and
yep.
You bought a converted barn?
Yes, that's right. So originally this is a dairy farm, and we've bought what were two cattle barns that were converted about 20 years ago for the farmer who moved into them and turned a couple of them into holiday cottages. But yeah, these are the old cattle barns kind of perched halfway up the valley, which were, you know, where the calving took place, where the milking took place, where all sorts of stuff happened.
Your rental cottages, how many people do they sleep?
So we have the larger one sleeps 6, the 3-bed cottage, and the smaller one sleeps 4. So we've got two double rooms, a twin in the larger one, and then two doubles in the 2-bed cottage. Yeah, and with lots of space for kids to run around.
And the idea was to a modern version of the good life, to give up two really, really heavyweight corporate jobs, leave that all behind, go rural.
yeah,
and see what happened. Is that what did happen?
yeah, exactly. You know, I think we probably were over-optimistic in how quickly we could change things, but that's exactly it. And just live a different life. And, you know, to anyone who's thinking about it, it's always going to be there. The corporate world in the southeast of England, for example, is always going to be there. And yeah, so we've started to do a bit of that. We haven't quite got the livestock yet, but that's the next thing on the list. But we've got, you know, we've got the inevitable pony. The kids have got loads of space to run around in. And our lives, you know, we're spending loads more time with the kids, you know, who I never really used to see before. They've definitely benefited from that. And actually their relationship with each other is better because they're just out doing stuff. I mean, they can spend all day building a den, you know. So we've spent, you know, we've had lockdown as well. We've pretty much spent the best part of 6 months just with us and them on this, you know, beautiful, as you say, 7.5-8 acres with loads of space for them to do what they want and play in the play park and go fishing or whatever they want to do, really.
And a stupid question, has it been difficult to find the tenants for your rentals?
No, it's a very simple answer. I mean, Cornwall's a beautiful spot anyway, and I think we've been very pleased with the popularity of what we've got here.
And you're booked up for until next year, you tell me.
Yeah, so we're fully booked for this year. Next year is probably half full already, and seems to be pretty much we're expecting we'll be booked up by about December, January. So yeah, so you know the next step for us really is to try and grow the holiday cottage business just a little bit, enough to give us the income we need so that we can, you know, really properly live the lifestyle down here.
So if people want to rent one of your cottages, how do they find out more?
So the best starting point is go to our website, which is www.messacholidays.com, MESSACK, messacholidays.com. And then all the details are on there. At the moment, we use an agent, but you can find all the details on there.
You have a magnificent pond over there.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? So so it's mainly, we have, actually, that's where the goldfish ended up. So they've definitely had a good transition because they've got a much bigger place to live. But it's, yeah, mainly a wildlife pond. So we get, you know, great big dragonflies in the summer or about this time. And we get some moorhens in there and some ducks and geese, Canada geese come in for a little while to spend some time with us, and the kids just love watching. You know, there's huge amounts of, I've never seen so many tadpoles, huge amounts of tadpoles and frogs, which the kids are collecting and, you know, having in various jars and ponds and sinks and sometimes washing up bowls that they collect out of there. So yeah, but we might do some fishing or something with it one day, but at the moment it's just wildlife. But,
and then you've got a hot tub here on the terrace.
Yeah, that's our the one bit of I guess upcountry living that we wanted to bring with us. That's had a fairly interesting move, but yeah, that's brilliant. I mean, and I've never known beautiful darkness like it out here. You know,
no light pollution.
No light pollution, and the number of stars that you can see is magnificent. So yeah, quite a few evenings spent sitting in the hot tub, glass of wine, and just counting the stars, watching the International Space Station.
And during lockdown, you had magnificent weather, yeah?
Yes, yeah, it was fantastic. Particularly that first month or two was amazing. Yeah, we definitely counted our blessings then because, you know, 8 acres and 4 kids and, you know, nothing else to do but play around. So
I should say that behind the hot tub is a magnificent tree. Tell us about this tree.
Yeah, well, it was kind of something we discovered almost by accident.
It's a palm tree.
It's a palm tree, yeah. It's a well-established palm tree. So I would have thought it's probably 20 years old or more. And it's, yeah, it's beautiful. And it was covered in ivy and kind of hidden behind everything else. And, you know, as part of our work on the garden, we kind of uncovered it and knew it was there, but never appreciated just how beautiful it was. And, you know, the beautiful part of the country that this is, you can grow stuff.
I should explain for our listeners in America that we are in England, good old cold and rainy England, but we do have in this part of England, the southwest, you actually have quite a lot of sort of subtropical growth, don't you?
You do, yeah, you do. There are some amazing gardens in Cornwall, you know, historical gardens with really a lot of tropical vegetation. And it's only, I think it's the rainfall, I think it's partly the soil, but just that extra 3 or 4 degrees of temperature difference, the extra warmth you get down here, being on the edge of the Gulf Stream sometimes, I think, and it makes quite a difference. Yeah.
Has it been difficult for the children moving school?
On the whole, no. I mean, the youngest ones were just starting school, so that was not a problem. They were straight into their first years at school, so that was great. For the eldest one, she had a great friend where we used to live up country, and but we've still managed to keep in touch. You know, we still keep in touch with that friend of hers, and now she's got two sets of friends. So actually, it's worked out quite well.
And what about yourselves? Do you feel you've cut yourself off from friends? And
yeah, a great question actually, because you know, obviously we've been through lockdown as well, where everyone has just taken to using Zoom and other, you know, means of staying in touch. So yes, there wasn't a bit of an adjustment, but we've made friends very easily down here. Obviously, having children helps enormously to get to know, you know, local parents and so on. And we're still in touch. So a bit like the children, really. We've now got two sets of friends where we had one, and, you know, staying in touch with the other guys has been very easy. So no, it's been okay actually.
But you haven't actually completely given up the corporate world. I mean, I know both of you have been doing a little bit of freelance work as well.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, we're kind of halfway through the work we want to do, you know, to maybe develop some more cottages. But so, yeah, we're still having to do some corporate work and some interim contract work just to keep the money ticking over, and kind of as we planned we would. But hopefully eventually we'll slowly wind down on that and then just do it when we, you know, when we want to do some interesting projects and some interesting work that's different.
Feel cut off down here at all at times?
Well, the first week we were here, I was still working up country, and my wife phoned me and I said, look, how are you? It's the middle of winter. We've moved from the middle of a city to, you know, a very remote but not isolated part of Cornwall. How do you feel? And she just walked back down the lane, which is pitch black. And she said, I don't feel at all scared or nervous. And that's, I'd say, in large part due to the welcome that we received when we were down here from our neighbours who were just lovely and very conscious of the change we were making and looking after us. But no, it wasn't as complicated as we thought. You know, obviously logistically it's a bit more tricky to go and get stuff. You don't just pop around the corner to go and get something from the DIY store. So you've got to be a bit more planned in what you do. But actually, with online deliveries and the way technology has changed, being remote is a thing of the past, I think, in the countryside.
No regrets.
No, not at all.
No regrets. I think it's tough in terms of completely new life, but people have been really welcoming down here. And even though we're not Cornish, we've been accepted. And I think with the family, it makes a real difference because, you know, travelling as a family, and we don't go anywhere unnoticed.
No, that I'm sure.
unheard, unnoticed, always loading and offloading the car.
And you've also built a magnificent playground. How did that come about?
Well, yeah, it's slightly bigger than we envisaged, but
I should explain. It's got a lifeboat in the middle of it. It's got various ladders and ropes and swings and cargo nets.
Yeah, well, you know, as is I think the way in some parts of the world, everything's by word of mouth, and we just heard that there was an adventure park that was replacing some of its equipment, and that some of this stuff was available, and so we duly trundled over there to pick up some of this stuff, which of course in the middle of an adventure park looks fairly small, but when we got it on the back of a truck and tried to get it down the dual carriageway was a little bit more complicated. But it's fantastic. Yeah, we've got a great rowing boat thing there. That's a sandpit for the kids, a big cargo net, a big climbing frame, and they get their friends over and they'll spend hours on it. So again, you know, a bit of therapy for the parents as well,
and not quite so much screen time for kids.
A lot less screen time for the kids, and in fact, it's almost something we use now as something, you know, to educate or distract them in a different way. But yeah, they will spend most of their time outside when they can. I mean, obviously the weather turns and you've got to think of other things, but a lot less time. Yeah,
it's quiet here, isn't it?
It is very quiet, almost, you know, totally silent sometimes, with literally just the sound of the birds and the bees, as it were. But yeah, and it's you underestimate just how much background noise there can be in a city, And again, you know, I think our first few nights here, we were slightly spooked by the lack of noise. But now it's fantastic. And we do find when we go up to the, you know, up to the big smoke, you know, just how noisy it can be up there. But yeah, you can hear things right across the valley because there's literally no other noise. The first few months, I think, were challenging, you know, with us having lots of doubts about whether we'd done the right thing. But now, you know, everything settles down as it always does. You just got to keep hold of your dream and keep sticking to it and believing in it. And I know it's cliched, but that's you do, and you will slowly build it and you'll get to it. And then, you know, once you've built your dream, like everyone will go on and go, right, we want to do something else now. but I think that's what you've got to do. Just keep going and you will slowly, bit by bit, build the blocks you need to make that, you know, dream a reality. So so we were halfway there, I think. So this is the lane we own. Actually, we don't own it, we have the responsibility for it. is a slightly different way of looking at what you own and don't own. And yeah, it's one of the changes of mindset I think we've noticed in ourselves while we're down here. You know, we were chatting to one of our neighbours, and because this was a farm that was held for several generations by one family, you do very much feel like, yes, in theory, legally, it's your property and your title, but actually you do very much feel like a custodian of it. And, you know, in a way that you never would have felt in any other house we've owned before. You know, it's probably obvious to people who live in the country and farmers and all the rest of it that you're just looking after this for a very short period of time for the next people to go, and you're looking after the countryside. But, you know, I think we appreciate that more than we ever did, that you're just a custodian of it for a period of time and you've got to look after it. This lane's about a quarter of a mile long, and it just takes us up to the headland, which looks out across to Falmouth, actually, and the Atlantic and out to the estuary, where the Fal meet the English Channel and ultimately the Atlantic Ocean. But it's great because you have, you know, yes, you are in a very rural location, but, you know, Falmouth is a few miles away, Truro is a few miles away. You know, there's all the events associated with sailing in Falmouth and the history of that city. And then fascinatingly, you get, you know, it's not just the leisure kind of activities and leisure boats that you see out here. You get kind of jack-up rigs, cruise ships. There's ferry that crosses across the River Fal. There's two great big cargo, car container ship moored up there. So there's, you know, it's not just a pretty kind of tourist spot. It's actually a working set of docks in Falmouth, you know, some fairly hefty industrial and commercial activity, which I find just as interesting as the natural stuff. There are two castles on the entrance to the Fal Estuary, Pendennis and St Mawes, and you'll see coming into view as we go around the corner then Pendennis Castle, and some lovely views out towards the Lizard, which is the most southerly point in the UK, and the mouth of the River Fal and the estuary. So there's always something interesting going on out there. And then you have a lovely, beautiful little church just set down in the village. We're about a couple of miles away from the nearest village. People are always water skiing out here or jet skiing. So there's always something interesting, you know, going on, and some beautiful land that's now owned by the National Trust. And you can see this is where the National Trust path goes across and goes all the way around the headland. Some beautiful houses as well, overlooking the coastline.
To get to your house, we had to take a ferry for the last bit.
Yes, that's right.
That cuts it off even more, makes it more sort of individual and sort of different.
Yeah, that's right. So it feels kind of like an island, even though it's really just a headland. But yeah, there are five chain link ferries in the UK, which is basically, in theory, they're not even a ferry. Actually, it's a floating bridge, so it doesn't qualify as a vessel. But yeah, there are five of these chain link ferries, which basically pull themselves from one side of the river to the other using these enormous chains and great big cogs. That'll take kind of 20, 30 cars, and that's our essential link to getting across to school, to the, you know, to the towns of Truro and Falmouth. And it's actually a lovely way to, you know, to get to school every morning, and we've seen things like dolphins and all the other wildlife that occasionally pop up in the river there. So yeah, the kids don't quite realise maybe how lucky they are going on the ferry every morning to school. You know, we've just had super fast broadband installed. It's quite feasible now to work from here. My wife's just done a year of contracting, and without meeting the team she's working with, all via Zoom and, you know, super fast broadband. So I think it's becoming more feasible to do this in a way it wasn't.
Oh, I think there's a rush to move out of cities and do what you're doing, but you had a 2-year start.
We did, yeah. Yeah, it's luck rather than judgment, I think. But yeah, and I think we've landed on our feet, definitely. But there are still a few places around, I think, in Cornwall, which are still a bit more remote and are perhaps like Cornwall as it was 30, 40, 50 years ago. And to date, this area has been relatively untouched, partly because it's an area of outstanding natural beauty. So there are fairly restrictive planning guidelines. But also, actually, you know, I was saying, I think we were as much chosen to move into this place as we chose it. And to, you know, the community here is very strong still. And it's a community like I've never known before. You know, very informal but very strong community, and that's helped keep a sense of identity here that, you know, perhaps has been lost elsewhere.
So do you and Sarah feel you found a new identity for yourselves in making this move?
It's changing. It's definitely changing. I think you could definitely have put us into the kind of standard corporate mold, corporate jobs, commuting, you know, maybe slightly more than 2.2 kids, but we have definitely changed already. You know, different way of looking at the world, different way of thinking about the things we own and the way we bring our kids up. You know, I think it'll take a little bit longer for that change to take effect, but yeah, it's you know, we'll never be Cornish, but there's a little bit of Cornish in us already, I think.
Now you've had a wonderful summer and autumn is upon us. Are you going to run the cottages during the winter?
We won't this year, because we need to do a bit more contracting work to get the money we need to do what we want to do next. And actually, there are some challenges in running the cottages through the winter. You know, if the weather's bad, people are going to be indoors all the time, puts extra strain on the cottages. You've got heating bills to think about. So, you know, as one of the things I'd love to do, and we are going to do, is convert ourselves from the oil-based heating system we've got at the moment to a more sustainable system. So a ground source or an air source heat pump, which will be fantastic because we'll not only lose the cost of the oil, but we'll have hardly any running costs for our heating and hot water, and the government will also pay you for it. So that's quite attractive at the moment. But yeah, I mean, I think in the future, when we make some more changes, we may well open them up because, you know, as you were saying, there's definitely something quite exciting about being in this part of the world in the middle of winter when the storms are raging, or having a windy walk on the beach. You know, there's some great stuff there, but for the moment I think we're full on enough with the four kids and a bit of contracting work. So in due course probably, and I think the, you know, there's, we've got the hot tubs as well, so actually sitting out in those in winter is quite attractive, so we might do it in the future. So yeah, so hot tub, Wi-Fi, dog friendly, child friendly, those kinds of things were essentials for us for getting the level of bookings that, you know, we're achieving so far. Yeah, so far, you know, it was quite hectic when we landed. We were delayed with our house purchase, so we had a lot to do to renovate the cottages in a shorter time than we'd originally envisaged. We my budget was optimistic, let's say, for the renovation of the cottages, and the standards that I was planning to do them to were perhaps a little bit different from where my wife quite correctly had set her standards. But that was a good thing. You know, we did overspend on the budget, but actually we get great feedback. We've had, you know, perfect feedback on the cottages, and people are having a great holiday, which is really, really important to us. You know, genuinely as well, it is really rewarding when people have had a fantastic holiday. When you've put in all that effort to make the cottages the way they are, and then people come down and they have a brilliant time, it's a really nice feeling. And the other aspect, which wasn't sure what it would be like, but has been meeting people from, you know, we've had guests from overseas, but our guests at the moment are primarily from the UK because we advertise primarily through a UK based agency. But
not many people can come here at the moment.
And not many people, unfortunately, can come here and enjoy this beautiful part of Cornwall from overseas. So, but when it does open up again, that might change. But it's just been great. You know, the UK is a very rich and diverse country in terms of the people we have here. And you get to meet many more people in a lovely environment. You know, they're on holiday. So that's been really rewarding as well.
Here on the edge of the terrace, right outside the house, got a magnificent fountain, which looked like a kind of mushroom. Whatever is it?
Well, we thought the same, actually. But actually, what it is it's the old apple press from the farm, which was used, well, goodness knows how old it is. But yeah, so it's granite, kind of got a granite bowl. And then if you imagine the mushroom turned upside down, the head of what was the head of the mushroom was actually the weight that would turn around in the bowl of the of granite here. And you would pour apples in from the orchard, and then the stalk of the mushroom, which is then up in the air, had a big wooden pole attached to it and would be turned by, you know, horses or donkeys, which would crush the apple. So it's an old apple press, which of course would be used to make cider, which we're very fond of.
And they're very strong scrumpy in this part of the world.
Very cloudy, very strong scrumpy, yeah.
And did you convert it into a fountain yourself when you came here?
No. It was the farmer that we bought the barns off had obviously been used to seeing this in use. I think probably half the fact that it had very fond memories for them, but I think the other fact of it is it probably weighs well over a ton, I would imagine. So moving it probably wasn't that easy. But yeah, they converted it to this lovely fountain.
Kind of hazy and cloudy memories, I expect.
Yeah, yes. You wouldn't want to move that after a few pints of scrumpy.
So overall, the move, the change of lifestyle, has it been a real success?
Yeah, it has. And I think, you know, when we came here, I can only describe a peacefulness I felt when I came on site here and I walked around the garden. We've got a lot of space here. And I just felt very peaceful. When Mike was initially working away, I never felt vulnerable or threatened here at all. I was on my own with the children in the middle of nowhere, but I felt very at peace with what we'd done, our decision, and, you know, more to find out.
Sarah and Michael, thank you both for sharing your life-changing experience with us, and we wish you and the children the very best here in the tranquil Cornish countryside.
That's all for now. If you've enjoyed the show, do please visit our website, actionpacktravel.com, or subscribe on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, or another of the many platforms that we're on. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with at least one other person.
And I am you.
And you are me.
It's just a crazy storm.